from Texas Public Radio. This is Petri Dish. I'm Bonnie Petri with this update. Autism Awareness Month is coming to an end, and in 2025, there were some unusual twists. Starting on April 10th, when Robert Kennedy Jr. announced at a cabinet meeting with President Trump that he would be able to announce the cause of autism in a few months.
We've launched a massive testing and research effort that's going to involve hundreds of scientists from around the world. By September, we will know what has caused the autism epidemic. We'll be able to eliminate those exposures.
So you think you're going to have a pretty good idea, huh?
We will know by September.
A few days later, Kennedy seemed to demonstrate a basic misunderstanding about the lives lived by just over 3% of American children and more than 5 million American adults who have been diagnosed with this neurodevelopmental spectrum disorder.
These are kids who will never pay taxes, they'll never hold a job, they'll never play baseball, they'll never write a poem, they'll never go out on a date. Many of them will never use a toilet unassisted.
Late last week, the head of the National Institutes of Health added fuel to the fire.
Secretary Kennedy has asked me to, to initiate a study on autism, the cause of the rise in autism.
This study would include the development of a registry that would gather public and private records of people diagnosed with autism from a variety of sources, including prescriptions, insurance claims, Medicare and Medicaid records, genetic tests, and smartwatches. Jackie Benestante is the executive director of the Autism Society of Texas, and she joined me to talk about all this.
Oh, well, it's Autism Acceptance Month, and, you know, some people refer to it as Autism Awareness Month. You know, usually we like to shine a light on the needs of people with autism, but instead we're just trying to discuss, you know, the latest cuts, what's going on, what's been said.
Right. So let's start with the statement made earlier this month by Secretary Kennedy about the lives of those with autism. He seemed to suggest that they aren't productive and that these children and adults are living, quote, individual tragedies.
Yeah. I mean, the statements were, I think for a lot of people that have autistic kids and for autistic adults, it felt really offensive and just hard to hear. When we know so many people can do those things and do, you know, have jobs, work, write poetry, you know, just and then on top of that, for the autistic people and anyone with a disability, we do not condone valuing someone by their productivity level either. So, you know, it sounds like he's just kind of writing off the whole group of people.
Kennedy said that the rate of autism in children right now is about 1 in 31, and that when he was a kid, he was born in 1954, it was 1 in 10,000. Now, that does seem like something worth looking into, if it's accurate.
Yeah, I mean, as the years have progressed, the diagnostic criteria has changed, and there was a time when you had to have cognitive or intellectual disability or an IQ below a certain threshold to be considered autistic. And it really wasn't until the 90s, really, when Asperger's became a diagnosis, which now has gone away again. But it was a lot later that having an IQ kind of in the normal or even high IQ became part of having an autism diagnosis. So back then, a lot of autistic people too also got, you know, we don't use the word anymore, but a mental retardation diagnosis. They were put into institutions. I mean, things have really, really changed.
And it seemed like he thinks that a lot more people with autism have really high support needs than actually do, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's the three levels of autism, right? Like level 1, 2, and 3. And level 3 is the highest level of support need. And I think it's around 25 or 26% that actually fall into that category of having a very high level of support need, where they would, you know, have challenges with daily living, difficulty being independent at all. That's around 26.7%. And the rest kind of is split between level one and two, which is like lowest level of support needs or sort of a mid-level.
Then the kicker was this idea of an autism registry. Now, I know you are not opposed to data collection, but last week's conversation did seem like something else.
You know, the CDC already monitors the prevalence rate, and that data can be really helpful. But I think the biggest concern is possible privacy breaches, surveillance. Is there informed consent? Like, how are they getting this data? Do families of autistic children know? Do the autistic adults know? Have they consented to it? And what information are they gathering?
Right. And people really pushed back. I mean, immediately and with force. Why so forceful?
You know, for autistic adults that we know, especially that are working or, you know, a variety of autistic adults don't want their medical records shared. They don't want their data shared. They don't want their what medications they're taking or if they have a co-occurring diagnosis, you know. And then same for parents. I mean, I think parents of teens especially, or what's going to be public? How will this information be used? Will these kids and adults somehow be tracked or marked or discriminated against? I mean, I think it's a Pandora's box of problems.
So HHS has kind of walked this back, although they still acknowledge they'll be creating a huge database with publicly available information. So folks are still watching closely. What are advocates like you planning on doing?
I mean, I think in general, you know, I think at Autism Society, we recognize that there are, you know, diverse needs and diverse perspectives within the autism community. And, you know, we want to make sure everyone has the access to the resources they need to live fully, you know, and that's across the lifespan, that's everybody. And, you know, we're really dedicated to that. So, I mean, we'll keep advocating and keep fighting for that as we have been. And, you know, just protect people's privacy and their right to informed consent as much as we possibly can.
We'll keep you informed. From TBR's Petri Dish, I'm Bonnie Petri. Talk to you soon.
Support for Petri Dish is made possible by UT Health San Antonio, committed to transforming the health of the community through a team that tackles problems from every angle, doing everything it takes to bring each patient the best possible outcomes, from teaching tomorrow's healthcare leaders to translating research into new treatments. UT Health San Antonio strives to make lives better. Learn more at everythingittakes.org. Support for TPR comes from the University of Texas at San Antonio's Brain Health Consortium, a pioneering research hub advancing neuroscience, neuroengineering, precision medicine, and more. Learn more at utsa.edu/bhc.